Welcome to the Pacific Forest Foundation's Talking Timber, where each week you meet the professionals behind the Northwest timber industry.
Hi, and welcome. I'm Diane Mettler, Executive Director of the Pacific Logging Congress and host of Talking Timber. In this episode, we're going to be speaking to Zoe Cardoza and Kendra Gertzenberg. They are Cal Poly Humboldt students and also President and Secretary of the Cal Poly Humboldt Logging Sports Team. In the meantime, I want to thank our sponsors, the Pacific Logging Congress and the Pacific Forest Foundation, who are both promoting sound technical forest education through projects like this podcast. This year, the Pacific Forest Foundation awarded over $30,000 in scholarships. We are now taking applications. To find out more, visit www.pacificforestfoundation.org. Okay, now let's hear from Zoe and Kendra.
My name is Zoe Cardoza. I'm the captain and president of the Cal Poly Humboldt Logging Sports Team and a forestry operations major here at Cal Poly Humboldt. My roots started down in Reedley, which is just southeast of Fresno, California, near the foothills of the Sequoias at Reedley College. I found forestry there after pursuing ag business. I realized it wasn't for me, so I stepped into forestry and found a love and passion for it. I got my first forestry job that summer after my first semester in the degree. And I started working for SoCal Edison down in the Southern Sierras and worked there for about 2 years while I was finishing up my associates at Reedley. And once I was ready to transfer, I came up to Humboldt to pursue a bachelor's degree in forestry and am here in my last year. And I'm very proud to be a Humboldt State / Cal Poly Humboldt student. It's very confusing, but and I'm happy and really glad that I made it to Humboldt for forestry.
Very cool. And we have Kendra with us. Can you introduce yourself as well?
Yeah, my name is Kendra Gerstenberg. I am the Humboldt Logging Sports Secretary, and I kind of started in forestry by accident. I was originally pursuing biology at my community college in Merced. And then when I decided to transfer to what was then Humboldt State University, I randomly picked forestry, and it took me about a semester, and then I absolutely fell in love. And then at my first summer, I unfortunately didn't hit that November deadline for applying for jobs, so I didn't get a forestry job until my second summer at Humboldt. Ended up working in Montana with the Forest Service, and that really showed me how awesome it is to work outside for a full summer. And then I graduated last year in 2023 from Cal Poly Humboldt with a master's in forestry, specifically restoration. And I'm currently pursuing my master's in natural resources. And I'm kind of going towards like the forest operations kind of concentration.
Well, so when you guys you both said you just kind of fell in love with forestry. What was it about it when you just saw it that was kind of your calling?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I
think the really simple aspect of it is being outside and getting paid to hike in the woods and to be a critical thinker outside. When I worked my first forestry job, I got to shadow a registered professional forester, an RPF, as well as a wildlife biologist. And I was hesitant. I didn't know if I wanted to be a forester or do I want to be a wildlife biologist. And after seeing what they did for about 6 months, I quickly realized, like, man, I want to be the forester. The forester gets to wear all the hats. And so, you know, he might be able, the guy I worked underneath, he sometimes went out and did owl surveys. And then he was out there laying out a timber harvest. And then he was out there doing some restoration work. And so it was really enticing to see how many hats a forester wears. And just, you know, circling back to the ability to hike outside and get paid to do it. Oh my gosh. But that's definitely what drew me in.
Kendra, what about you?
So it was actually like just one moment it all clicked. I was driving on the 101 back south from a semester here at Cal Poly Humboldt, and one of the professors here on campus told us that she wanted to there's like the green haze of trees, and she wanted to clear that up for us. And as I was driving back down, I was looking out at all the trees, and I was able to recognize that they were all different. in one way or another. And I was just so overcome with like the power of having that knowledge that other people just don't really maybe not care about. And it was just so special to me. And I just knew that trees were my calling, and forestry specifically, I think that kind of clicked too in my job with the Forest Service, in terms of like, I get to be a steward for this land, and it's a responsibility, but it's a responsibility that I want to take up.
Nice. So how did you two meet up?
Well, I think when I first transferred here, so when I first transferred, it was fall of 21. Kendra had already been a student and we were taking a Zoom class together. But how did we actually meet, Kendra? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't think we met until we had our mensuration class together, and we had a mutual friend that kind of connected us, and we sat together and realized that we both didn't really have any clue what was going on, and that really connected us, and we were able to figure it out together.
Kendra has saved me in many classes. She's a smart gal. Obviously, why she's getting that master's degree, and I am ready to graduate.
So now you guys are working together on the competition. Do you want to give folks a little bit of background who don't know much about that?
Yeah. So this competition is being hosted. We're the host school, but we're being hosted by the Redwood Region Logging Conference. And so we are absolutely thankful for them. And of course, our school as well, for all the support that they've been providing to put this event on. But we have a small little committee of 9 students that are working hard at planning and prepping for hosting 180 plus competitors coming from 10 different Western schools, ranging from Montana to Idaho to Colorado to Oregon. And we've been working hard on this since August of last year. We knew in April of last year that we were the chosen host school. I made a presentation at last year's AWFC in Oregon, basically saying, you know, we want to host and we're hungry for it. And we want to be that host school, and we have the Redwood Region Logging Conference's support. And so I think that it's the most ideal time to do it. And all the captains voted for our team. And so we knew of April of 2023 that we would be hosting in March of 2024. So the clock started ticking.
Yeah.
And so I was fighting fire in Montana over the summer, and so I had a lot of time on my hands to think and start game planning how I wanted this to look. And we're very fortunate to have our coach, who is also our lecturer, because our club is also a class.
Okay.
So that's how we kind of get more funding and also, you know, cover our class for insurance. So we're overwhelmed with support from the industry, from alumni, from our school, from the list just could go on. And yeah, that's kind of, you know, we're days out now, so we're getting real nervous.
Yeah. So what are the dates? What are the dates to give you guys a plug to make sure people show up?
Yeah. So the Association of Western Forestry Clubs 84th Annual Conclave will be happening March 13th through the 16th, which is a Wednesday through Friday.
Okay.
And the Redwood Region Logging Conference begins on that Thursday, which is the 14th, and will run till Saturday the 16th. And in addition to our 3-day collegiate logging sports competition, we will also be having a John Iverson Invitational. John Iverson was a logger down in the Mendo area that passed away, I believe, 2 years ago. And so the conference started a award and a competition in his honor. And so yes, we are still hosting that. And yes, we are still hosting a AWFC competition. And so we'll have 4 days of comp. Saturday will be not as intense as the other 3 days,
yeah. But
it'll still be a great show.
Are you guys both competing?
Yes.
Yep.
In what categories?
Kendra, you want to take a hack at yours?
Oh, let's see if I can remember them off the top of my head. Well, as Zoe said earlier, I've got a pretty big brain, I hope. So I'm going to be doing all of the, we call them the nerd events, but they're just the technical events. So that's quizzing on dendrology. There's timber cruising and then traverse. And then I'm also doing some of the meathead events, or the other ones are called.
That's what we like to call them, but they're known as closed events.
They're better with the nicknames, I think.
I agree.
But yeah, so I'm doing a double bucking with one of the other females on our team. and then single buck by myself, and then I'll be doing power saw, speed axe, and then there's all the open events. So there's events that everyone does, and I'll be doing all of those. Those include axe throw, caber toss, pulp toss. Let me see if I can remember all of them.
I think you got them all.
Did I really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
So she has, that's a total of 10 events.
Wow,
that she has. Yeah. And I'm similar with about 10 events. I'll be competing in horizontal speed chop and vertical speed chop. Okay. Obstacle pole as well. Power saw. Both bucks. The women's double buck. So I'll have a female partner. And I'll also do the Jack and Jill with a male partner. I'll also do a fun new event called Steeplechase and the axe throw and caber toss and pulp toss as well. But my last one is burling, so log rolling.
And all these things are open to the public and all most of these competitions end.
So yes, all the competition Wednesday through Saturday is free and open to the public. The banquet will not be open to the public, yeah. But we'll definitely be sharing the results and proud about whoever, you know, takes home the cheddar. Another award that we have is Belle and Bull of the Woods. And so that's okay. Top male and female. So highest scoring male and female. And they will be taking home a beautiful, it's like a redwood plaque. And it also has a throwing axe hung on the plaque that was, again, donated by another company, Precision Axes.
Nice.
There's so much support. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So for folks who haven't been to the Redwood Conference, can you kind of explain that a little bit to folks?
Yeah. So I've been able to go to the Redwood Region Logging Conference. This is my third year now. So I've seen it in Ukiah and in Eureka. So it switches off between both cities, you know, every other year. So this year we're in Eureka. Next year it'll be hosted in Ukiah. It's 3 days of logging and forestry education and experience for the public to kind of come and, you know, stand next to some equipment and talk to some operators and talk to some foresters and some of the local companies about what we do and why we're proud about being stewards of the land. And I think it gives a lot of students an opportunity to learn about forestry. I grew up going to ag shows. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Central Valley. And so that, you know, only makes sense.
Yep.
And so I learned a lot about agriculture going to these ag shows. And so I find it very similar going to these logging shows. It's passionate people there sharing their product and their passions for this industry. And so I know they have a kids day on Thursday where there's always a theme that happens each year. I'm blanking on the theme this year. I can look it up while we're talking. But the students will create these adorable little posters and present them.
Oh.
And they'll also come and scream their hearts out for our team, which is so fun to see. They love the chainsaws. They love everything. And so we're going to give them a way bigger show than they've probably ever seen before. They have like lager classes too, you know, some like cornhole tournaments, a beer and wine gala. They make it a really, really fun event for people to come out and enjoy. And also those that are, you know, involved in the industry, they have like a log loader competition, which is really fun to watch. And so it's 3 days of a lot of jam packed information and action, but it's really fun to go and be a part of and to learn about. Always something new to see.
I have covered some of the professional logging competitions. Many of you guys who are competing in this competition move on to the professional ones?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a few of us. I'm starting to get, you know, kind of serious about wanting to get into the Steel Series.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of expensive to get your own equipment. I've bought my first axe, so that's step one. Mm-hmm. But I need to get all those other things. There's a few kids. So there's Angus Nicholson. He just got accepted into the Steel Rookie Series. So that's really exciting. He's a young kid from Oregon State. I think he's like 19 and he is amazing to watch. It'll be, I don't know if you're able to come out and watch us, but if you are, look for him. There's also another woman, Brianna Kavinge. I could be butchering her last name. Sorry, Brianna. She's from University of Montana and she's been on the rise. I remember we both started back in 2021 and it's been awesome to see how far she's come along. And I know she's getting serious And then there's some other students that were around last year, like Kaylee Curtis, and a few other names that I'm probably just blanking on. But, you know, what I think the beauty of this sport is, like, you can come and have fun, or you can come and be really serious and competitive. And so there's a nice mix of those two, and both are really respected and appreciated too, you know, especially on our team. We really, really promote that. Come out and try it. You don't have to do all the things, you know, just try one thing. And if that's all you want to do, that's totally fine. Find community here too. But if you want to get serious about it and really compete, like, we'll get you there.
Hi, we're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors, the Pacific Forest Foundation and the Pacific Logging Congress. The Pacific Logging Congress is going to hold its annual conference in Kauai this year, November 4th through the 6th. There will be great networking opportunities and dynamic speakers. More details will be available at www.pacificloggingcongress.org. Okay, back to Zoe and Kendra and how they got involved in forestry as a career.
So I started in the industry when I was 18, and I'm 6 years in now. And I was, you know, when I first came around, I was like, oh man, I wish I would have found this sooner. And I then slowly started realizing, well, sorry, let me backtrack. When I took my first intro to forestry class at Reedley, my professor kept saying, we need more foresters. They're all dying. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's intense. Well, and then I started learning, holy crap, you know, as unfortunate as that is, it's true. You know, we had a lot of foresters kind of come on in that, you know, 70s period, and we're 50 years from there. And so it's again, I hate to keep saying a dying trade, but it is. And so once I finally learned what a forester was and learned that, oh, wait, I do want to measure trees, I like that, I realized, wow, the opportunities in this field have just, like, absolutely increased. And in my short time, I feel like I've seen so many more women get involved, which is so awesome to see. I'm also involved in an organization called California Women in Timber, which is very empowering to be a part of. We have a North Coast chapter here. And it's just, I don't know. I think this industry is so niche, but it's also such a loving community that really focuses on giving back. I think that a lot of students that get involved, I really try to push you to, like, take the job. Even though you might be hesitant about it, just try it. Because my first forestry job, I did not like it, but I learned, you know, I didn't want to do interpretation. I wanted to go be a technician. Yeah. And so, you know, but if I would have never worked that job, I would have never had that insight. And so I think that just moving forward with my career, and, you know, if I was listening to this and I was just getting started, try it. Every door of opportunity that opens, go through it, check it out, talk to people, shake their hands, have a conversation, ask what they do at work, because you might hear what they do and you're like, that doesn't meet, you know, what my objectives are.
Yeah.
And that's another, I laugh saying that just because we always say, you know, what's the objective of the land in forestry? Like, we, you know, that's the common question, but, like, you can reflect that on yourself. What's your objective? You know, what's your goal? What do you want? And when I was 18, I didn't necessarily know that, but at this point, now that I've worked a few jobs, I fought fire. I tried that out. I knew I needed to get out that bug. I've been a technician for a large timber company, for a small timber company. And I've kind of found, you know, okay, I think I know where I fit in now. And now I just need to find that job once I graduate and keep trying.
Yeah. No, that's great advice, I think, for every industry, for everybody. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, when I first started, it was, you know, kind of the same, where I kept hearing from professors and professionals in the industry, like, man, we need a lot more students. We need more young folks. Like, they don't have to be students. They can be people right out of high school. Like, we just need more. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, sure. That's what everyone always says, because they want all these applicants. But as the years have progressed and I've been able to actually, like, immerse myself in the industry, I really do feel like that wasn't just blowing smoke or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many opportunities. And like Zoe said, I think it's really important to try them all out. And loggers out there, they want to talk. They might, like, be a little standoffish at first, is what I'm learning. But once they start opening up, I mean, like, they have so many stories to tell and they have so much wisdom. And it's really important to, like, as a student or as a younger individual, to understand that, like, we have a lot to learn. I completed a degree, but then again, I know nothing when it comes to actually being out in the field. There's so much that I have yet to learn and that everyone has yet to learn. And I think it's just really important to keep an open mind and like pursue every interest and every opportunity. I think that's the key to being successful in life and especially in the timber industry.
Yeah, that's great advice. And also, you guys are both mentioning that the industry of foresters specifically are kind of aging out. There's a whole generation of them. So gathering their information before they're fully retired and out of the business is probably important. So.
Yeah, working underneath them, getting that wise woods wisdom.
Well, some of these have probably seen whole stands be harvested and grow up in there.
Oh, yes. Careers. Yeah, I've worked for a few that have, you know, that they talk about, you know, it's like their kids.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful to hear that perspective. You know, I think a lot of people, when they hear about a forester or a logger, you know, of course, it goes back to killing trees. But we're doctors. Yeah. We're writing prescriptions for these individual trees, you know, yeah. And we're thinking about the full scope and also the small scope. And I think there's so much that goes into the degree that I never even realized until I, you know, took these classes. And it's really fun. Like Kendra was saying, you know, like when she started realizing the difference between tree species, it's really fun to talk to people about what is forestry, because most people just don't know.
Oh, I absolutely agree. So do you, Humboldt, is the forestry program pretty large there?
Yeah, we definitely have a majority of campus, I would say. You know, okay. There's only three forestry schools in the state of California. There's us, Cal Poly SLO, and UC Berkeley.
Okay.
And I think we're the prime location. We have, you know, we can walk 5 minutes out of our classroom and be in the lab in the woods covered, you know, by redwoods. And so that's been really nice to be able to like do real world application right outside of the classroom and not have to drive or have a week long field trips going somewhere to go see trees. You know, we're really fortunate to have them right in our backyard.
Yeah. And one of your professors I work with is Hunter Harrell.
Yeah, he's my thesis advisor. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then he is our club advisor. So he is pretty involved and has been, you know, supporting us through hosting this event. We've given him, you know, some tasks to run with, and I put him to work.
Good. He should. That's great.
Yeah, he's kind of got a split job right now because I've also wrangled him in to help me with my project. I'm going to be at a Redwood Region logging conference trying to get some more responses for my thesis project. So he's going to have some split roles there, but I think we're going to work him hard enough.
He's young. He can handle it. So
yeah, he's fine.
So are there things about the competition that I've missed asking you that you'd like to bring up?
Every day for competition is going to be a different day. Okay. So for people that want to come and watch, it's worth it to try to attend as many days for as long as they can, just because, you know, it's not like we're doing all of the events every single day. So I think it's important for people to try to hit as much as they can, if possible.
And yeah. Is there a program out there that they were going to jump online and see what events are going to be held at certain times?
No, because so since we have over 180 competitors and, you know, we're in Humboldt County where the weather is not too predictable, we have, you know, like a tentative schedule. We have a goal of starting at 7 a.m. sharp. Our first competitors meeting will start then and ending by 5 p.m. So people can go enjoy dinner and go to sleep and be ready for comp the next day because it's exhausting.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm just hearing your list of competitions and I'm tired just hearing about it.
Yes. And if you're a captain, you have you kind of have another set of responsibility. Not only are you, you know, responsible for the equipment that you're bringing, but the people that you're bringing. But each night we have a meeting to recap on what went down and also what we want to change for the future. We have a constitution with this association. And so the constitution has been around, I think, since the 60s.
Wow.
And so there's some things in there that need to be changed. And, you know, like I'll give you an example of in this event called Obstacle Pull, the men have an option to do a match cut or a single cut. A match cut is a little bit more technical. You have to, you know, line up your cuts. And the women do not have an option. And so in today's world, where we're at, that's not cool. I'm not okay with that. And so I will be, you know, proposing a change to the Constitution to basically have the same choice for women. And so, you know, there's kind of some differences in this sport. Some of them I agree with and some of them I don't. And that's one of them. But that's kind of what captains come together. We vote for the, you know, the next school and kind of some changes that we'd like to be seen, would like to see.
I can imagine when it came out in the 60s, women weren't even part of it.
I think it was like so mixed. I mean, you see it in still timber sports right now where like women finally got standing block added, I think in this, like, you know, maybe 2 years ago.
Wow.
And women have been doing standing block for way longer than that. And so, you know, they're talking about bringing in springboard for women now and doing it at these smaller shows that happen over the summer. And so it's really awesome to see a woman on the rise in this sport. And there are some badass women out there right now too, that, you know, are, you know, ranging from the rookie level to the professional level.
So just the workouts for some of this there's no gyms for this. Are y'all practicing in your backyards and stuff?
It's a mix. You know, going back to, you know, if somebody's very serious about it versus if they're not, you know, for example, my co-captain Ellis, he's a endurance runner and a firefighter. That man can hike all day and run all day. And so that's really good. You need that cardio. That's why he's such a good single buckers, because he has that cardio. And so I would say it's a combination of like bulking and having muscle, but also having that endurance. And another thing, like, you don't have to be the strongest person out there, but it's technical. If you make that axe work for you, or you make that saw work for you, if you can figure that out, you're going to go far. And so,
Do you get to bring you have your own axe, but do you get to bring your own saw, or does everybody have to use a saw that's there?
So when it comes to chainsawing events, we provide the saw so that it's equal.
Yeah.
But when it comes to chopping, every school has their own set of axes. And so some are more fortunate than others. We are very fortunate. We have an alumni who sharpens axes and who always works on our axes. And of course we pay him for his work, so it's a mix. And then when it comes to like the crosscut saws, you know, it just depends on what you have. We're spoiled rotten. Our team is absolutely spoiled.
Well, that's good here.
Yeah, it's great. We like it. But we also, since we are so spoiled too, we really give back. Like last year we gave a chainsaw away, and we always kind of try to scratch other teams' backs because we know that we're spoiled and that other teams deserve it too.
Oh, cool. And so Kendra, since you're in the nerd category, who is coming up with those competition or, you know, questions or, you know, programs?
So in terms of the dendrology, the constitution that Zoe had brought up earlier has a really long list of different species. And so we're going to have somebody choose, I think, 20 different species from that really, really long list.
Okay.
Hunter will be on that, that list.
Okay. So Hunter's gonna pick out 20 different specific trees from that list and collect samples. So those could be leaves, sticks, like the cones or any other fruiting bodies or anything like that. And we'll just be looking at a table full of pieces and parts of these trees and or other woody types of plants. And so we'll have to give the common name and then the scientific name, and we get different points based off of how well we do on identifying the species and our spelling. So it's kind of a stressful one because you don't have the 20 species. You have that long list of, I don't even know how many. It's like 3 pages of different.
I think it's species. Like 120 that you can choose from and study.
Wow.
Yeah. I did, since I'm so close with Hunter, I told him, I said, I'm going to be very mad if you give us poison oak or poison ivy, because we're going to be in there touching them. And if you give us all, we all get that. Like, I can't tell you what to pick, but if you do pick that, I'm going to give you a stink eye. But in terms of the other two nerd events, Traverse and Timber Cruise, again, another professor or another volunteer will be setting those up and running them. And like for Traverse, they'll go out and set up the course before, and then we'll try to figure out where their endpoint is. And then they'll run the event. And then for timber cruising, again, they pick out specific trees that we have to try to estimate the height and the DBH for that.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So you've been on, you've done these before though, so you're prepped a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's only like so much that you can really prepare yourself. It's all just very, I mean, some of it, sometimes it's just luck. I always think I have a neat trick for figuring out, you know, tree height, and then I'm way off or something like that. So you can try to prep for, you know, try to prep days and months before, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's kind of, there's some skill and there's some luck. So yeah.
We want to thank our sponsors, the Pacific Forest Foundation and the Pacific Logging Congress, for making this podcast possible. And we especially want to thank Zoe and Kendra for taking time out to be part of Talking Timber. Until next time, take care.